Tonight, our speaker is Brother Don Blackwell. He's the executive director of Global Broadcasting Network, GBN. This is a good question he's going to talk about tonight. Is one church as good as another? That's a question that the whole world needs to hear. It'll come from Matthew chapter 16. Start there in verse 18. Brother Don, we'll give you the call at this time.
All right. So good to be with you good brothers again and all of the people who have joined in. If you are not a member of the Church of Christ, we hope that you'll pay special attention to this subject tonight, because we're going to deal with a question that is of the utmost importance. And that question is one church as good as another? Now, many people in the world would answer yes to this question. They would say, you choose your church and I'll choose mine. And you'll see signs sometimes on the road that will say, attend the church of your choice this Sunday. I saw that on the back of a truck one day when I was driving down the interstate. And that seems like the American way. We are all about choice. You know, if you don't like McDonald's, then you go to Wendy's. And if you don't like Wendy's, then you can go to Burger King. And somebody else might come along and say, well, I'll take a Crystal Burger any day over any of that. But, you know, that's okay when it comes to food. I don't have to like the same place to eat that you like to eat, and that's perfectly fine. But is it okay with God when it comes to the matter of the church for you to choose your church and me to choose my church, as some people would say it? Because, you know, I'm not really concerned about what America thinks about this question. I want to know what God has to say about this question. And if I could ask God the question this evening, Lord, is one church as good as another? First, I'm not going to wait for him to answer me audibly, because God doesn't speak to us that way today. But God has already answered this question. He has answered it emphatically and clearly in his book, in the Bible. And fortunately, both the Old Testament and the New Testament give us glimpses as to how God would answer the question, is one church as good as another? In Romans chapter 15, the Bible says, whatsoever things were written aforetime, and that's talking about the Old Testament, whatsoever things were written aforetime in the Old Testament were written for our learning. And so what we're going to do in this particular lesson is we're going to learn some things from the Old Testament. We're going to lay our foundation from the Old Testament, and then we're going to transport these principles that we've learned into the New Testament, and then we're going to answer the question, is one church as good as another? Now, I'm going to begin this study in the book of Genesis. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 4, and we're going to ask the question, was one sacrifice as good as another sacrifice? Now, you may remember the story. There's Cain and Abel. They both brought sacrifices to God. And the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 3 that Cain brought the sacrifice of the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel also brought the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. But I want you to notice that the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but the Bible says unto Cain and his offering, he had not respect. Now, the question is, was one sacrifice as good as another in the eyes of God in Genesis chapter 4? Or was it the case that one sacrifice was acceptable and the other was rejected? But you know, to ask the question is to answer it if you read the text, because it comes right out and tells us that Cain's offering was not accepted by God. And so we start asking the question, why? And Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4 starts answering the question, because it says, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than did Cain. Now, when it says by faith, that tells us something very important. How does faith come? Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. That means God had spoken to him, and he should have followed what God said to do. Abel offered what God requested, what God dictated. Cain tried to substitute something of his own pleasing. It was not a sacrifice involving blood. And the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins, Hebrews 9:22. And I want you to appreciate that it mattered to God whether Cain brought the specified sacrifice. God did not say, well, you know, it's not really what I asked for, but one sacrifice is just as good as another as long as you had me in your mind. That's not what God said. Well, we'll move a little bit further, and we'll go to Genesis chapter 6, and we will ask the question, was one wood just as good as another wood in Genesis chapter 6? Now, you'll notice in Genesis 6:14, the Bible says that God said to Noah, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Now, was one wood just as good as another? Did Noah have the right or the luxury to say, well, God requested gopher wood, but wood is wood. One wood is just as good as another. I think I'm going to use pine. I like pine. It's easier to get. And I think I'm going to, or maybe I'm going to choose cedar wood because it smells really good. And my wife likes cedar. I know that's not what God dictated, but God's not going to get all worked up about that. Friends, Noah did not have the right to change the wood. One wood was not just as good as another in the eyes of God. And you could further ask the question, was one size as good as another? Genesis 6 and verse 15 says, this is the fashion which thou shalt make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth 50 cubits, the height 30 cubits. Did Noah have the right to say, well, one size is just as good as another? You know, God said 300 cubits, but 250 is going to be just fine. We're still building an ark, and we're going to use the right kind of wood, but God's not going to get all worked up about whether it's the exact length or not. You know, what kind of God do you think we serve? The love of God's bigger than 50 cubits. Can't you just hear somebody saying that? But friends, Noah knew the answer to the question, because Genesis 6 and verse 22 says, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. You see, Noah knew that one wood was not as good as another. He knew that one size was not as good as another. Well, we move to the book of Leviticus, chapter 10. And you're probably very familiar with this story. We ask the question, was one fire as good as another fire in Leviticus 10? The Bible tells us there about Nadab and Abihu. They were the sons of Aaron, the brother of Moses. The Bible says Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, offered fire unto the Lord, but the text specifically says they offered strange fire. Now, the word strange in the King James means it was not what God asked for. It was not what God authorized. But fire is fire, right? God doesn't care if it's this kind of fire or that kind of fire, as long as it's fire and as long as it's offered to him, right? Well, wait a minute, because you read Leviticus 10 and verse 2, they offered fire to the Lord, and the Bible says fire went out from the Lord and devoured Nadab and Abihu. Now, why is that? Because one fire was not just as good as another in the eyes of God. God specified the kind of fire that he wanted. Nadab and Abihu had not paid attention to the details, and they offered a fire that God had not authorized, and in this account, it cost them their very lives. Well, we move to the book of Numbers, and we ask the question, was one cure just as good as another cure in Numbers chapter 21? Now, in Numbers chapter 21, the people were murmuring, they were complaining, they were not appreciative and grateful for what God had done for them and given them. And God got fed up with their griping and complaining, and so he sent snakes. King James says fiery serpents out into the midst of them. It means poisonous snakes. And they started biting people. And the people were going to die. Some of them did die. And if a cure was not secured, then they were going to have massive deaths. And so in Numbers chapter 21, verses 8 and 9, God said to Moses, I want you to make a brass serpent, a brass snake, and put it on a pole. And whenever one of the children of Israel looks upon it, he shall live. So he said, you set it up and you tell them if they want to be saved from snake bite, this is what they have to do. They just have to look at the brass serpent on the pole. Now, I want you to picture this. Suppose that one of these Israelites heard this information and said to Moses, Moses, do you think you and your little group of people who look at that snake, that brass snake, are the only ones who are going to be cured of snake bite? You think you're the only ones? You know, if he had asked that question, what would Moses have said in response? I think Moses would have responded and said, I don't know what to say to you because God said to look upon a brass snake. And that's the only cure that God has given. And so for you to come and try to suggest there's an alternate cure, that's without the authority of God. And if you think that that is arrogant or narrow-minded, I can't help that. All I know is that God said, if we're going to be healed, this is how you have to do it. You see, friends, one cure was not just as good as another cure when it came to being healed from the snake bite. And so we move forward to the book of Joshua, and we ask the question, was one house just as good as another house during the battle of Jericho? When we get to the book of Joshua, in chapter 2, Rahab the harlot is instructed in verses 18 and 19. She was told that when the battle begins, she and her family would be safe if and only if they were in a particular house. And it was to be the one that had a scarlet cord hanging from the window. And so in verse 18, the text says, thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and thy father's house home unto thee. That is, into your house. Don't let them stay in their own house. You take them into your house, the one with the scarlet cord in the window. And verse 19 says, whosoever shall go out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. But watch this. Whosoever shall be with you in the house, the one singular location where they were guaranteed protection, was Rahab's house, the one that had the scarlet cord hanging from the window. You stay in that house and you will be okay. Now let's ask the question. Was one house just as good as another if one wanted to be protected? Or was the Lord saying there is only one? Was Joshua, were they saying there's only going to be one place where you are guaranteed protection? Well, we move to the book of 1 Kings and we ask the question, was one God just as good as another God? In 1 Kings chapter 12. In 1 Kings 12, we meet a man named Jeroboam. Jeroboam was the man who was the original mass marketer to people who wanted things done their way in religion. And so we've got people tonight who want to formulate a church based on surveys. And so they go out and knock on doors in the neighborhood and they ask, what kind of church do you want? Whatever you want, we will make it that way so that you'll be happy. Well, Jeroboam was the first of this kind. And so he said, I'm going to just give the people whatever it takes to make the people happy. And so Jeroboam said, I'm a little bit concerned since the kingdom has split and we've got a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. He said, I'm concerned that the people from the northern tribes are going to go back down south to Jerusalem and try to worship God. And if they get down there, then they might just stay there and worship God, and I don't want that to happen. And so in 1 Kings chapter 12 and verse 28, the Bible says the king, Jeroboam, took counsel, and he made two cows out of gold. And he said to the people, he said, you know, it's too far for you to go all the way to Jerusalem. Why don't you just look at your gods, these golden calves, O Israel, that have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt? And he put one golden cow, an idol, in Bethel, and the other in Dan. That is one in the northern part of their kingdom, one in the southern part of the northern kingdom, to make it convenient. Because after all, nobody wants to have to go too far. Nobody wants to be inconvenienced by religion, right? Well, was one God just as good as another? If you look at 1 Kings chapter 12 and verse 30, the text says, and this thing became a sin. It was sinful for Jeroboam to say that one God is just as good as another God, and that the God of heaven is no different from these gods, these golden cows. Well, if you stay in this same chapter, you can ask the question, was one tribe just as good as another tribe? If you look at 1 Kings 12 and verse 31, Jeroboam made a house of high places, that is, for to worship idols. And look what he did. The text says he made priests of the lowest of the people who were not from the tribe of Levi. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 8, God had separated the tribe of Levi to be the priest. But Jeroboam comes along and says, you don't have to be a member of the tribe of Levi to be a priest in my kingdom. One tribe's just as good as another. And so he made people priests who were not from the tribe of Levi. Stay in that chapter, and let's ask the question from verse 32, was one month just as good as another month? In verse 32, Jeroboam ordained a feast on the eighth month and the 15th day of the month. And so what he did was he made a feast like the feast that they were familiar with. But according to verse 33, the Bible says, in the eighth month, even in the month which he devised in his own heart. You see, Jeroboam said, one month is just as good as another month. It doesn't matter exactly what God said to do. This is what I have decided in my heart. But you know, friends, Proverbs 28 and verse 26 says, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. We need to keep that ringing in our minds. He that trusts in his own heart is a fool. And so one month was not just as good as another. One tribe was not as good as another. One God was not as good as another. One house, one cure, one fire, one size, one wood, one sacrifice. And ladies and gentlemen, we could go on and on through the Old Testament making this same point. I'm going to do one more from the Old Testament. In 2 Kings chapter 5, was one river just as good as another river? In 2 Kings 5, we read about a man whose name was Naaman. Naaman had leprosy. His flesh was going to rot off of his body in a slow and a painful death if something was not done about it. And so there was a little captive girl who he had taken captive from Israel, and she said, I know where you can go to find a cure. She said, there is a man back in my homeland in Israel who is a prophet of God. He's a man of God. If you will go see this man of God, he can cure you. But instead, what happens is Naaman has his king, the king of Syria, write a letter to the king of Israel. Now, was one place just as good as another? No, that doesn't do him any good. So finally, he decides he's going to go to the right place, and that is Elisha's house. And so he's outside of Elisha's house, and a messenger comes out from Elisha, the prophet, and he says to Naaman, here's what you do. If you want to get rid of leprosy, you go and dip seven times in the Jordan River, and after the seventh time, when you come up, your flesh will be pure and clean, your leprosy will be gone, it'll be like the flesh of a baby. And Naaman says, the Jordan River. Listen to this, 2 Kings 5, because Naaman is going to suggest that one river is just as good as another. He says in 2 Kings 5, 12, how about the Abana River or the Pharpar River? Can't I wash in one of them and be clean? He's suggesting one river is just as good as another. In fact, he's saying these rivers are better than the one that the prophet of God suggested. But friends, the fact is, no other river was better. In fact, no other river was as good because God specified only one. Now, that is the foundation. That is what we will learn from the Old Testament. With that foundation, I want us to consider the question tonight, is one church just as good as another? Now, you see already that God can be very exclusive at times. Rahab's house was the only house where salvation from the battle could be guaranteed. Well, the church of God is the house of the living God, according to 1 Timothy 3:15, and it is the only location where salvation from sin is guaranteed. If you are a member of the church and a faithful one, then you will be guaranteed, you are guaranteed salvation and protection, safety on the day of judgment. Friends, in Ephesians chapter 1, we find a list of seven ones. And it is so easy to read these verses and see what God is saying. He says in Ephesians 1 and verse 1, there is one body. That's very narrow. One body is not as good as another because the Lord says there's one. He says there's one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. He mentions one hope of your calling. So we can ask the question, is one God as good as another? We've already answered that. The answer is no. Is one Lord, is one Jesus as good as another? Of course not. Is one Spirit as good as another? No. 1 John 4 and verse 1, John said, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are from God, because many false spirits, many false prophets are gone out into the world. If one Spirit is just as good as another, then why did John say that? Well, if one God is not as good as another, and one Lord is not as good as another, and one Spirit is not as good as another, what about one body? Is one body as good as another? I don't know how many times you've ever been asked this question, but I've been asked this multiple times, and that is, does a person have to be a member of the Church of Christ in order to be saved? Have you ever asked that question? Have you ever been asked that question? How do you answer that? You know, you don't want people to get angry when you answer them. And I don't want this to come across as mean-spirited. But friends, I want to suggest to you a couple of possibilities. One thing that a person could say to answer this question is they could say, well, that's an excellent question. Do you have to be a member of the Church of Christ in order to be saved? That's an excellent question. Let me ask you this. Do you believe that everyone in the world is going to be saved? And the person says, well, no, I don't believe that. Well, how do you start determining who's going to be saved and who is not going to be saved? Is it just by human opinion? Do you just start saying, I think some folks are going to be saved, these folks will, and these folks won't? And, well, no, I don't think that. Well, what is it? Well, I think you've got to go to the Bible. Well, then you say, well, friend, we're on common ground. I'm like you. I believe that whoever does what the Bible says and who will be saved, and whoever does not do what the Bible says, they will be lost. Would you sit down with me and let's study the Bible together? When can we set up a time to study the Bible? Or you might say this. If you are a member of the Church of Christ and someone asks you the question, do you have to be a member of the Church of Christ in order to be saved? You might say to that person, I believe the same thing that Jesus believed about who's going to go to heaven. According to Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Friends, religious people think that sometimes they think that everybody's going to go to heaven just because they did many wonderful works or preached in the name of Jesus. But Jesus comes right out and says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But Jesus comes right out and tells us who's going to go to heaven. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But here it is. He says, he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Only those who do the will of the Father are going to go to heaven. When would be a good time that we can sit down and study what the will of the Father is? Because this is a heaven-hell question. You need to know the answer to this question. When we get to the book of Ephesians, when it gets time to really be specific and answer this question, is one church as good as another? I want to suggest to you that the book of Ephesians is a good place to study. There are three simple passages of Scripture in the book of Ephesians that help us to answer the question we're studying tonight. But there's one very fundamental thing that you have to make sure that people understand before you get to this point, and it's this. Dear friend, when we use the term Church of Christ, we don't necessarily mean it the way sometimes people use it and the way sometimes people hear it. Sometimes people are thinking of it in a denominational sense. Here's the problem. There are many people in the world who look at all the different churches. They see the Catholics and Presbyterians and Baptists, Methodists, Lutherans, Church of Christ, Church of the Nazarenes, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and they lump Church of Christ as one big denomination in the midst of all the other denominations. And so we have our brand of denomination in their view, and this group has their view, and so on. But you see, the problem is, when we use the term Church of Christ, we're not referring to a denomination. Friends, if I could get in a time machine, and I could go back to Acts chapter 2, to the very first converts to Christianity, and I could go up and talk to them. I want you to imagine the conversation. I go to one of these people who's still wet, and I say to them, I see that you've just been baptized. Why did you do that? And he might say, well, I did that for the remission of my sins. Well, I heard you say something about now being a member of the church. I would like to know, and my friends who come with me on this trip through time, we would like to know, which denomination did you join? What would a person on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 say in response to that question? Friends, in answer, they would say, what are you talking about? We want to know, what denomination did you join? Did you become a Catholic, Presbyterian, Baptist, which denomination? His response would probably be something like this. Sir, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know any of these groups that you're mentioning. I've never heard of a Catholic or a Presbyterian or a Baptist. All I know is I'm a member of Christ's church, the church that belongs to Jesus Christ, the church of Christ, the church belonging to Christ. You see, friends, when we use the term Church of Christ, we're not talking about a denomination. We aren't trying to get folks to leave their denomination to join our denomination. We're trying to get folks to leave all denominations completely and just be a member of the church that we read about in the Bible, the one that existed in Acts chapter 2, the one that preceded all the denominations, the one that Paul was referring to in Romans 16:16 when he said, the churches of Christ salute you. Now, the question is, do I have to be a member of that religious body in order to be saved? Well, let me close by noticing these verses with you. Back to the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, before I read this verse, I want you to imagine a clean slate in your mind. And on this blank slate in your mind, I want you to draw a circle. You see the circle? And above the circle, I want you to write the words, Body of Christ. So you've got a circle. Above it, it says, Body of Christ. And then next to the circle, I want you to envision a stick man. And he's standing outside of the circle. Not inside, he's outside of the circle that we've labeled as Body of Christ. What does that mean? It means he's outside the circle that is the body of Christ. Now, is that significant? Now, here's our verse. Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Now, I want you to think about that man, and I want you to think about that circle. If Jesus is the Savior of the body, and that man is outside of the body, then that man is not going to be saved. And so what does that man need to do? That man needs to get into the one body that Jesus is the Savior of. And again, I say one body because we've already looked at Ephesians 4:4, where the Bible said there's one body. And so he can't opt to go stand in a different circle somewhere and be saved, because Jesus is the Savior of the one body. One circle is not as good as another. One body is not as good as another. Now I want you to listen to Ephesians 1, 22, and 23. And you're going to find this to be a very significant passage. In Ephesians 1, 22, the Bible says that God has put all things under his feet, under the feet of Jesus Christ. And he's given him to be the head over all things. Now listen carefully. To the church, comma, which is his body. And so Jesus is the Savior of the body. The body is the church. Jesus is the Savior of the body. And a man has to be in the body in order to be saved. Now, go back to the picture. We've got that circle that represents the body of Christ. We've got this sick man. He's standing outside of the circle. If Jesus is the Savior of the body, which is the church, if that sick man remains outside of that body, he's going to be lost. And according to this passage, that one body is the church. The word church and body are interchangeable in the New Testament. They refer to the same thing. And so Ephesians 5:23 says Christ is the Savior of the church, and that church is his body. That church we're talking about is the church of Christ. That literally means the church belonging to Jesus Christ. It is a possessive term. And so, friends, when we look at the question, is one church as good as another? Honestly, we have to answer, it is not. One church is not as good as another because one body is not as good as another. If I were to take my watch off of my wrist tonight, and I laid it on my desk here from which I'm preaching, and I said that anyone who wants to come by my house and take the watch of your choice off my desk, then you could do that. You would say, well, Brother Don, that doesn't make any sense because you only have one watch on your desk. How can you say pick the watch of your choice if you only have one watch? Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. That's why it's the church of Christ, because he built it. Is it possible to be a member of that church today? Friends, yes, it is. How? The answer is the same way they did it in the New Testament. Acts 2:23, Peter said, repent. Or Acts 2:38, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And when they did that, Acts 2:47 says that they were added to the church, not a denomination. That creation of man had not come along yet. They were simply members of the church that belonged to Jesus Christ. They were simply Christians. And that's what we're calling on you to do tonight, if you're not already a member of the church that belongs to Christ. The way you do it tonight is the same way that they did it. After hearing the gospel and believing it and repenting of their sins, they confessed that they had heard the truth and they believed it. They believed Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he, deity in the flesh, came and died upon the cross for our sins, that we could have the hope of eternal life. That fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is the foundational truth upon which the rest of the gospel is built. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He purchased his church by his blood. You can be a member of that church tonight by faith, accepting the Lord in baptism. You're baptized into Christ to be washed in the blood of Christ, Romans 6:3 and 4. At the moment that you are baptized into the blood, you're forgiven of your sins, you have remission of sins, you become a Christian, and you are added to the one body. Friends, is one church as good as another? In the Bible, there's only one church. And so to suggest that any other is just as good is to suggest something outside of the Bible is just as good as what God gave us. And that is not the kids. Tonight, if there is anything that we can do to help you, we hope that you will reach out to us so that we can talk to you more about the gospel plan of salvation. And I thank you for so kindly listening to me tonight.